Want to welcome those that are joining us over at the Westside campus this morning. Thank you for being here, as well as those that are joining us online. And we're in this new Bless series where we're figuring out how we can be a blessing to those that are around us. And as we start today, just want to take a little bit of a poll. How many of you would say that you're a good listener? Anybody willing to admit that you're a good listener? Okay, a number of you think that you're a good listener. Well, today we're going to mix it up just a little bit to find out just how good of a listener you are, doing something a little different. Some of you haven't done this for a little while, and I'm not very good at it, but we'll kind of see how it goes. We're going to do a little Simon Says this morning to find out how good of a listener you can be. And so to start with, let's go ahead, and Simon Says, stand up, if you would. Great job. And now that you're standing up, why don't you go ahead and greet your neighbor there real quickly. Greet your neighbor, if you would. All right, a couple people. Okay, are you ready? Here we go again. Simon Says, make a fist. Simon Says, click your fingers. All right, point to your neighbor if you would, real quickly. Oh, look at you guys. You can, Simon Says, quit snapping. And I learned this because I had to do it first service. Simon Says, you can sit down. Because I was done and told people to sit down. And half the crowd just stayed standing up, so I had to tell them to sit down. Well, as I mentioned, we're doing this series called Bless. We're looking at five practices that allow us to bless our neighbors in a way that could have an eternal impact on their life. And Bless is just an acrostic that helps us remember these five simple practices that God can use to help us be a blessing to our neighbors. And five letters are begin with prayer, listen, eat, and that's next week. Do not miss next week. Not that we're going to eat, but we're going to talk about it. Then we can go eat. And then serve, and then story. And last week, of course, we started with begin with prayer. And that's the place we always need to begin. You were encouraged to pray for five people in your life for 5 minutes a day for the next 5 weeks. Hopefully you have 1 week down. I just got a report, and you know, in your program today, there's a little QR code. If you bless somebody and want to share how that went, you can do that, or online at MyACC online there, you can do that. But somebody shared, they said, I started praying, and they prayed for eight people that they knew in their life, and they got an idea that they were going to get three of them together to have some coffee, and so some things are already in the works. We love to hear about that. And I just want to encourage you, over the next few weeks, if you miss a day praying, don't panic, don't be discouraged. The goal isn't to try to reach some certain metric of prayer. It's just intended to kind of encourage you and inspire you to pray some specific focused prayers on behalf of your neighbors. Now, the big idea for today is to bless your neighbor. Jesus invites you to listen. To bless your neighbor, Jesus invites you to listen. Not only is it important for you to listen to God, like we talked about last week, becoming a part of our praying, but you also need to be intentional about listening to your neighbors, especially when you've been praying for them specifically. Now, when we talk about listening, you remember Jesus one time, he said, it's like the blind leading the blind. And I kind of feel that way today because I know that I really could be a much better listener. I mean, one of the main aspects of my role is actually talking, it's preaching, it's speaking. And so I don't always do a very good job at listening. But if you and I really want to love our neighbors and bless the people that God has put in our path, we need to become intentional, more intentional, about listening to them for the purpose of understanding. And just like last week, if you remember, I had some random thoughts about prayer. I also just happened to come up with some random thoughts about listening today that I think we need to just start out with. The first random thought would be this. For too many, far too many, are better at talking than at listening. We really got the talking thing down. And I realize that there are probably some outliers out there who are fantastic listeners, but they really are fairly rare. And granted, some people don't actually talk that much, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are naturally a good listener either. As a whole, I'm guessing that a majority of us are probably more interested in talking than we are in listening. And if you like seeing the results of your action, it can lead you to believe that making a contribution means having something to say. And so instead of listening, you'll just talk. And so all too often when a friend or a coworker or maybe a neighbor comes to talk to you about something, rather than listening so that you can understand, maybe you jump like I do too often into the fix-it mode and try to come up with some ideas of what are some best options for them to fix it. But you know, the truth is, most people aren't that interested in our solutions. What they would really just like is maybe to be heard and to be known and to know that you really care. Now, this past week, I had a great example of that. This past week, one of the days, I came home really frustrated with some challenges that I was facing. And my wife, Diane, she gave me an incredible gift. You know what she did? She just listened to me. And what I discovered that I didn't need her to try to fix anything. It was the gift that I needed. And so far too many are better at talking than listening. The next random thought about listening, I would say, is that the opposite of listening isn't speaking. It's actually waiting to speak. That's the opposite of listening. And I don't really like admitting this, but far too many times when I'm in the middle of a conversation, I'm not really listening. Because you know what I'm doing? I'm queuing up what I want to say as soon as they take a breath, right? As soon as they stop and pause, I'm going to say something. And it's almost impossible to really understand what someone is saying when you're formulating your response instead of actually listening. Another random thought would be that listening requires not talking. You can't really listen and talk at the same thing. Now, I'm pretty sure most of us enjoy sharing our opinions more than we enjoy listening to the opinions of others. But it's a reality that you can't talk and listen at the same time. Another random thought about listening is that listening actually is wanting to hear. If you're going to listen to somebody, you actually have to want to hear them. And in order to really hear what a person is saying, you've got to at least have some desire to hear and to listen to that person. And in our world now, which is cluttered with chatter and communication, sometimes we only tend to listen to the messages that we want to hear, and we kind of filter out all the rest. Another random thought about listening is that we have two ears and one mouth, and so we ought to consider the ratio in the use of those things. Now, obviously, it's an intelligent design to have an ear on either side of our head, but the ratio is still 2-1 from the talking listening apparatus, and we need to at least keep that in mind. And then probably the final random thought that I would have about listening is this, and I share it a lot sometimes. You know, the problem with communication is the illusion that it's happened. Because haven't you said something to somebody that you thought was really clear, and then you find out later it wasn't as clear as you thought it actually was? And it made me think of a while back, I think we put it on the sign out there, we got to be careful in communication in a lot of different ways, even in punctuation. But the saying was, my three favorite things are eating my family and not using commas. And If you just take that at face value and don't really listen, you're going to have a little bit of a challenge with that. H. Norman Wright, in his classic book, Communication, The Key to Your Marriage, he actually said something that I think is pretty clear and pretty unclear. He says, I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. And I'm not sure I understand what he meant. That's the problem with communication. And you know, over the years as a pastor, I get to talk in front of people all the time. And I've gotten up and shared a message. And then I've had, after that, someone come up to me and share what they got out of my message. And I thought, I don't remember ever even talking about that. And yet that's what you got out of my message. See, speaking transmits words, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it leads to real communication. The power of communication comes out of hearing and being able to accurately interpret what has been said. And because of listening, I think sometimes it seems like a passive kind of a thing, many people fail to realize how critical it is to communication. Now, as you might imagine, there are in the Bible some scriptural admonitions for keeping our ears open more and our mouths open less. The Bible actually even addresses this issue. For example, one would be in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, where it says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Now, I wish this morning I could say, well, I've never done that. Actually, I've probably done it way too much, answered before really listening. And when it says folly, folly doesn't suggest a mental deficiency. It's kind of an ethical deficiency. Folly is a character problem, not an intellectual one. And probably the best thing that could be said about this type of a person is that they're probably more interested really in solving a problem than they're interested in the person who has the problem. And there's the real key for listening. Another statement is in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, that says, "Do you see someone who speaks in haste?" In haste. "There is more hope for a fool than for them." Now, do we see any examples of people speaking in haste in our culture today? We know modern technology, one of the benefits is just the ease and availability of really communication of mass proportions. And yet it comes with some dangers. In fact, I agree with the person who explained it this way. They said, "It has never been easier for persons lacking experience, information, and discernment to spread their opinions to others on a large scale without a meaningful requirement to think before posting." Does that ring any bells? Bring up any posts to you? See, most social media platforms are designed around speed and brevity and reach. And what this allows is for really inadequately understood, factually challenged, and ill-considered statements to instantly be delivered to a huge audience. That's really one of the dangers of social media. I think it's easy for any person to respond with a verbal barrage from behind the detachment provided by our phone or our computer. So we have to be careful about that. Do you see anyone who speaks in haste? Then we can go to the book of James. In the book of James, there's a couple of them that I'd say. Chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless." I mean, it really sounds to me like people who profess to follow Christ need to be able to keep their tongues on a pretty short leash. And then the last one is also found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take a note of this." And what James is saying there is, hey, if you have a highlighter, highlight it. If you have your pen, underline it. Circle it. Do something to remember this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Sadly, that rarely describes me as much as it should. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Now, I think there's probably some pretty good reasons why we're not better listeners, why we don't do a better job at listening. And I think one of those would just happen to be that we've not been taught really or trained how to listen very well. It'd be good for us if we were trained. Probably every one of us in this room, we've had a speech class. But there really wasn't ever an opportunity for you to enroll in a listening class, was there? Did you ever see one of those? Not to mention that it's sometimes not really modeled very well for us. And even though they may have expected it from you, I bet your parents never set you down and said, "Son or daughter, this is how you listen." They probably just said, "Now you listen to me." That's probably all the teaching you got when it comes to being a good listener. And so the sad reality is that really becoming a good listener only happens if we are intentional about deciding to do it on our own. So I'd encourage you, go to work on it, but give yourself a little grace. And when you do, I think what you'll discover is that becoming a good listener will improve your relationships with almost everyone, whether it's your family or your friends or your coworkers. Because if you'll try to genuinely listen, people will actually realize that you care about them. And that's when we can begin to have influence in their life. There's another reason why we're not better listeners, and that would be that we tend to be self-centered, right? I mean, we're just kind of absorbed with ourselves. And what that translates into is that we would rather have people listen to us than to have to sit and listen to other people. And when we interrupt others, which I'm so guilty of, or we're impatient with them, it's largely because we truly don't care about them. And that may sound a little harsh, but unfortunately, it's true. We care about ourselves a lot, and that's okay to a certain level, because we do need to take care of ourselves, but it's really pretty hard to put the needs of others ahead of our own. And this can lead to us tuning other people out or not really making an effort to listen to them and to what they have to share. And so I just thought about it. I didn't come up with a quote. I think I came across it somewhere. But what if our desire was to make others feel important? What if we could get there instead of needing to feel important ourselves? And that's a lot of times why we just talk. We want to feel important ourselves. What if our desire was to make other people feel important? Now, for those who are Christ followers, if you're here and you're a Christ follower, you need to recognize it's our mandate to include other people in our circle of concern, that we're concerned about other people, not just ourselves. And the reason we know that is because in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we're told, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And then it says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then finally, I would just say sometimes it's hard to listen because listening requires emotional energy. And we're just tired. We're worn out. We've had a busy day or a hard day. And when you're emotionally worn out, it's hard to listen. When you're exhausted, listening can be especially difficult. And some of you might be sitting there, you're like, man, you know what? I know I should listen to others, but I'm having a hard enough time keeping track of my own life, let alone caring about someone else's. Well, listening is hard work. And if we're not willing to put in the time and the effort, we're probably not going to get better at it. So let me talk something about that. Something we need to be aware of with about listening, and that is that it really is hard to give away what you don't have. It's hard to give away what you don't have. Now that could be love. If you don't feel loved, you're going to have a hard time loving others. It could be grace. It could be forgiveness. You actually have to receive it and have some of it so you can give it away. And I think that is true even of listening. That we need to be able to have a sense of being listened to if we're going to listen to other people. Now, here's the great news today. Fortunately, we all have access to the best listener in the universe. Who would that be? God. Jesus. Now, I have no clue how he could be able to do it, especially with 8 billion people on this planet. But God is clear that he's ready to listen to us. He can give us listening. Now, for any of you who have raised or are raising your children, you ever had the example yet? I know we did with our kids, where our kids are trying to communicate and talk to us, and we're not giving them very good attention. And so they literally come up and grab your face and turn and make them look at you so that they know that you're giving them your attention. Do you know that you never have to do that with God? You never have to do that with God. The Bible says, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are listening, they're attentive to their prayer. And you know what? I'm trying to attempt a new practice in my life, and I wish I'd started it sooner. But it's the practice of sharing more of what I need to get off my chest with God. There are often times that I've shared a lot with other people, but you know what I've really determined is that I need to share with God first. And I didn't come up with this on my own. The reason I even gave it some thought is because I've encountered David doing this as I've read through the book of Psalms. See, I believe that David understood that even if no one else would listen to him, I mean, if he couldn't get anybody else to listen to him, God would listen to him. And let me give you just two of the examples that I found. They're actually back-to-back examples in the book of Psalms in chapter 12 and chapter 13 of Psalm. And we'll start with chapter 12. And you can tell he's a little bit frustrated with things. You know why? Because he's talking in absolutes. And you know what? Husbands will use this with wives. Wives will use this with husbands. We'll use this with parents and children. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor, everyone, and they flatter with their lips but harbor deception in their hearts. I just sense David experiencing this level of frustration that he needed to get off his chest, and he knew God would listen. And if you'll read through some of the Psalms, you see that as he pours out his heart and God listens to him, it kind of changes his attitude. It changes his perspective. We need to get to that. We go look at chapter 13. And this is where he's actually having a conversation with God about how he feels God is treating him. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? I feel like you've forgotten me. How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day and have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And I think, honestly, it's because David said, you know what, God's listening. And when God listened, it made a difference. And I think that's exactly why the Apostle Peter, after he talked about the God being attentive to our prayers and his ears listening, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all of your anxiety. I think actually speak it, all your anxiety on God. You know what? Because he'll listen. You know why he'll listen? Because he cares for you. Now, let's see if we can kind of draw this thing together, because obviously we need a great example for listening. And you got to know that Jesus modeled effective listening. Jesus, as you might imagine, was a great listener. In fact, he's the ultimate listener. And he modeled this second blessed practice for us in some amazing ways. You know, not only did Jesus perform great miracles and perform some and teach some mind-blowing truths, Jesus also took the time, if you'll follow his life in the four Gospels, over and over to show love in one of the most practical and simple ways. You know what he did? He listened to people. He listened because he was motivated by unconditional love for every person that he encountered. And when he listened, you know what? I think people actually felt loved. I kind of agree with what a statement by David Augsburger, where he says, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. You know, if somebody will listen to me, that probably means they love me. And we actually find a very interesting example of this in Luke chapter 18, as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he happens to go through the city of Jericho. Now remember, by this time in his ministry, Jesus was very well known for his teaching, for his miracles. And so as he makes his way through the city, his presence immediately draws a large crowd, a lot of people, and a large crowd brought with it a lot of noise and commotion. And that's when there's this blind man alongside the road who was sitting there, and he heard all the commotion, the crowd going by, and he says, hey, what's going on? And he's told Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, he likely heard that Jesus actually had the ability to heal people. And so he starts to loudly cry out from the side of the road, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's when some people said, hey, be quiet, don't bother Jesus. But that just caused him to really yell louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, imagine the scene, and what happens next you don't want to miss or take for granted. Because in the midst of all of that commotion, Jesus heard his voice in the crowd. Jesus heard that poor blind man's voice in the crowd, probably hardly anybody ever listened to him. And when Jesus heard his voice, he stopped and actually requested that the man be brought to him. And knowing what we know about Jesus' omniscience, that he knows everything, as the blind man drew near to Jesus, Jesus actually did something that I think seems a little strange. Because he asked the blind man what he wanted Jesus to do for him. I think I could guess. I think the blind man would probably like to see. And so it kind of seems like a silly question, because I'm sure, I'm positive Jesus knew that the man was blind. So why would he ask him? So he could listen and model for us. It wasn't some sort of dramatic buildup, you know, for a miracle that would follow. Something happened here that I think we need to make sure we don't miss. See, the question that Jesus asks actually reveals something I think very important about his character. See, it showed that Jesus didn't presume to know what other people needed, which I want to remind you had more to do with their benefit than his, because he already knows. And in so doing, I think he was modeling for us that he doesn't want us to presume that we know what other people need or want. And I think sometimes we hear people talk a little bit, we just skip part of the story and we think, well, I know what that person needs. It's obvious. Hence, Jesus modeled what we need to do more and do better. Ask questions and then listen. It's so funny, almost humorous to me. Every time I go to get my hair cut, I sit in the chair at the salon, the barber. And you know what they say? What do you want me to do today? And I'm like, isn't it obvious I'm here for a hair shortening procedure? I mean, why else would I be sitting in your chair if I'm not going to get a haircut? But they don't just presume to know what I want or what I need. And so they ask and they listen. Now, just so you know the rest of the story, because we don't want to leave you hanging. We're told that the blind man said to Jesus, I really want to see. And Jesus said, hey, okay, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight. Now, I've tried to imagine what that would be like if you'd been blind. All of a sudden, trees and clouds and people and just the beauty that was there would have been amazing. So it says he followed Jesus praising God. I would think so. Well, I want to remind you this week, you're being encouraged to bless your neighbor or coworker or friend by giving them the gift of listening. Because the way you get to know another person and what they truly need is by taking time to listen to them. Folks, we know communication is what creates community. And that's one of the reasons why we always encourage people, you got to go beyond just sitting in a row on Sunday morning. You need to be in a circle in one of our Connect classes where you can actually talk to other people and develop some communication. We know communication creates community. And that's one of the reasons why at the Tower of Babel, when God wanted to split everybody up, what did he do? He messed up the communication. And then they split up. Now, I think I've shared with you before, one of my favorite coffee places is Dutch Brothers. And I got a confession's good for the soul. I'm pretty envious that New Life Church has a Dutch Brothers in their parking lot. At least it's close. But you know what's so interesting to me? When I go to Dutch Brothers, they have trained their baristas to just do something pretty simple, and it's to ask questions. And sometimes, I got to be honest with you, the lines are long enough as it is, but they'll ask somebody a question and then they'll just sit and talk to them while I'm waiting for my caramelizer. But you know, when I get to the window, they offer the same gift to me if I want to have a conversation and need to be listened to. And so one of the ways they do that is by asking questions. And so I want to wrap up today. If you would say, well, I don't know what questions to ask or how to, you know, engage with people in the book. And today I want to look at four H's that can facilitate good listening. And these are just kind of keep in the back of your mind. The first one is history. Everybody has a history. You can ask them about it. Tell me your story. Where did you grow up? You can ask about their family, about their college, about their occupation. What is something you remember the most from your childhood? You can be creative and you can get people to start to open up and just talk about themselves. But you got to ask and show some interest. The second one is heart. What is your favorite? What is your favorite team? I'm hoping I hear everybody say the Broncos. But I've been around long enough to know that's probably not going to happen. Your favorite restaurant, your favorite vacation destination. And then again, when they say, don't just drop it, just say, well, how did you develop your affinity for that? And then, of course, the next letter, H, is some habits. What are you into? What would you like to do with your free time? Now, you know what? The last few years, when I ask people, you know what they do with their free time? You know what the number one answer is? Anybody guess? It's pickleball. How many people here played pickleball? Let me see. Okay, at least half. Everybody I know that plays pickleball, it's like they're addicted to pickleball. So you can have some great conversations. Half the time, just ask them if they play pickleball. And you can have a great conversation. And then finally, the fourth one is just their hurts. And I think without requiring anybody to go into any detail, you can just ask them, what are some of the hard places that people have found themselves? How are you doing with the name of situation? And when they share, especially hurts, I would encourage you to just sit with them. Don't worry about trying to come up with some amazing statement that'll, make everything better, because it won't make everything better. In fact, they'll feel a little bit better if you just sit with them in the middle of that. And I just want to remind you, as conversations begin to lend themselves to matters of faith, because that'll come up, just keep asking them questions and then listen. And if they ever get to the point where they would actually say, Jesus is good for you, but I don't believe in Jesus, what should you do? I'd ask another question. Would you be willing to tell me how you arrived at that conclusion? And then listen, I bet there's a story behind it. And we're encouraged in the book, don't get in a hurry. They give an example of one couple that got involved with another couple in their apartment building. It took 18 months of conversations, of listening and having conversations, before it ever led to someone making the decision to follow Jesus. And if you'll just keep listening and doing it well, folks, I can almost guarantee you, when the time is right, God will open the door for you to share your story. But that's for another sermon a little bit later on. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much today for the fact that you are such an incredible, incredible listener to us. That your eyes are on us and your ears are attentive to our prayers. Help us in some way to be able to feel listened to, at least by you, so we can give that gift to the people that are around us. Pray that it would be your unconditional love for us that would allow us to be able to have a greater unconditional love for others. I thank you already for people that are kind of getting out of their comfort zone and are thinking and praying and then inviting people. And I pray that as we do this in just simple ways, that instead of feeling pressure, we would feel blessed as we try to bless other people. And that you'd use this simple practice to build our lives and to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.